whilst Blue Abyss won't open for a few more years. Having spoken to Simon, I felt really excited and a little bit queasy at the prospect of taking a holiday in space. What would that trip feel like?
Hi, I'm Dr. Alex Stevenson at Kinetic in Farnborough.
Please explain where we are, because I am very excited.
So we're at the human centrifuge facility in Farnborough. So at the moment, it's the only human-rated centrifuge we have. So it's a great big spinning arm. It's about 30 foot in radius, so 60 foot in diameter. And it's been here since 1955. Primarily in the early days was to research the effects of these G-forces on humans. More recently, actually, to train our fast jet pilots how to cope with the forces they experience when they're manoeuvring their aircraft. And we also do a bit of space research. And we've, in fact, done some training of sort of space tourists up to the International Space Station. And now recently doing some research looking at the respiratory effects of high G-forces.
So basically, to put it very bluntly, it's a little pod on a massive metal arm that gets spun around very, very quickly.
That in essence is what it is, yeah.
Now I can just see our first victim has climbed into the centrifuge. So tell me, what actually happens once this giant arm starts to spin?
So the actual arm takes a bit to start going, so it'll idle around the room a bit, and then the motor will kick in. And how we've set it for at the moment, it will accelerate at 1G per second. So if we go to 3G, it will take 2 seconds to get up there. So very quick. And then it sort of sustains that G level for however long you want, really. For today, I think we'll just keep it to 15 seconds. Now, what the person in the pod feels is that there's a sudden increase in their weight. So moving their hands and arms around is much more difficult. And also because the weight of their blood has increased, it will tend to head downwards. And what they might experience, depending on how low the blood pressure drops, is a loss of vision. And that's caused because the eye has actually got an internal pressure to hold it in that spherical shape. And it's harder for blood to get back into that eye. So you lose your vision first. And once you've lost your vision, that's when you end up not getting enough blood to the brain. And then you end up losing consciousness. But hopefully we won't get that today. We'll just see a bit of visual loss, which it's very traumatic and easy to see.
So does this mean I can have a go?
You can indeed have a go.
Oh my goodness. I better go and suit up.
Oh, we shall take you through.
How exciting. I'm really excited.
Okay, so I didn't actually have to wear a spacesuit, which was rather disappointing. I climbed into the small pod, ready for a spin.
Israel, hi, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Lovely. Hello, control. And if you'd like to set us up for a 2.4G run, and we'll take that as our first taster for 15 seconds. And then if you're happy at 2.4, we'll take you off a few little steps beyond that.
Perfect.
2.4G, 15 seconds, standby.
Here we go.
Initially, I'm sat upright, but as the pod accelerates around the circular room, I'm tilted sideways, the top of my head pointing towards the centre, and this causes the blood to rush down towards my feet, much like a pilot would experience in flight.
And you can talk to us?
Yeah, it's okay. I was expecting it to be, like, quite intense, but it's actually just like a massive roller coaster ride.
Well done.
In fact, by my fifth run, we took it to a maximum for a newbie like me at 4.2G. And yep, my vision disappeared.
Yeah, vision started to go, but yeah, it's just cleared completely.
By tensing legs and stomach muscles, you force the blood back up towards your head and suddenly your vision clears. Hopefully. Whilst I recovered from the motion sickness, Alec explained why it's important to run these practices.
So it's a medical thing, so we need to check that the actual forces that we're subjecting our pilots and astronauts to don't cause them any physical harm. There's a familiarisation piece as well, really, because it's an unusual sensation that they wouldn't normally expect to have in life, particularly for astronauts. Those sort of accelerations are just really for space. Although there's not necessarily for that kind of acceleration, that chest to back acceleration training per se we can do, it's a sensation that they need to be familiarised with so that they can get on with what they should be doing, concentrating the tasks they may have to do in the spacecraft. As you were about 4G, so we should be able to get you up to 9G with the kit that we've got and some training.
I don't think I'm quite ready for that just yet. So the sensation in your body is so strange. Everything feels a lot heavier. As astronauts take off, their lung is almost feels so heavy. Does that have any health implications? Like, how can we even study that?
It does have health implications. It does affect how your lung works. And obviously, our lung is very important. It's how we get oxygen into our blood. So one of the things we can measure how that acceleration affects the amount of oxygen you get in the blood. And we've probably all seen a lot of clinical programs where we've seen a little clip that you get on your finger, which is called a pulse oximeter, which measures that percentage of oxygen that's the hemoglobin saturated with. And we can do that, and we can see that that is markedly reduced when we're under that sort of acceleration. The good news is when we turn the acceleration off, that tends to return to normal. As the lung is quite spongy, it distorts under its increased weight. What you end up doing is stretching the top parts of the lung, so the parts where actually your chest, and the bottom parts of the lung, which are near your back, get compressed. And that there is an element of that when we're just lying on our back, but because it's only 1G, there's only a slight difference between the top and the back. And as we increase the levels of G, we just amplify that difference. So we're concerned, I suppose, under GX, that we get a part of the lung at the base that's gotten under so much pressure that it closes off and doesn't communicate with the atmosphere. And because it can't get air into and out of the lung, the blood that flows through it just doesn't pick up any oxygen. It contributes to what we call a pulmonary shunt. It's a proportion of the blood that we're pumping out of our heart that doesn't actually pick up oxygen when it runs through the lung. And obviously that mixes with bits that do pick up oxygen and just lowers out the average saturation we've got. Now, the issue with the top part of the lung is that it gradually gets stretched and stretched. And like any mechanical component, will eventually cause damage if you stretch it too much. A lot of the stuff that we don't suggest that the levels we're doing are safe, but there is a degree of stretch in there. We need to be careful that if we've got some individuals who already have issues with that lung, that if we stretch any further, are we actually then going to cause an issue, a tear or something like that? So it is something we need to consider.
That was Alex Stevenson from Kinetic, and you're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Izzy Clark.